Sefer Vayikra talks a lot about the different karbanos, and we have many different variations of karbanos, many different types for different occasions, for different reasons. What I want to do today is give a little bit of an overview, or a little bit of a background, I guess is the right way to explain it, of what the offering of karbanos is all about. Now, of course, today, as we know, we don't have the opportunity to bring karbanos, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of that, we really don't have so much of what the Torah describes is the day-to-day work that we are supposed to do. So you'll ask yourself, this is supposed to be a class in Halacha Lamaisa. This is supposed to be a class where we talk about relevant issues, and this seems to be an irrelevant issue that none of us are really busy with. So why do we talk about it at all? The answer is because the Navi writes in Sefer Hosea, "Unishalma parim sifasenu," which means "Unishalma parim sifasenu," which means that we will pay for our parim, for our cows, for our animals, with our lips. And what is that a reference to? It says the Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Parsha Tzav. It's in this week's Parsha. The Medrash says, Shaloh Yeh Yisrael Omrim, a Jew may say, L'sha'avar, in the past, Hayu Makrivin Karbanos and Misaskim Ahem. We all used to offer Karbanos, and we were busy in the Beis HaMikdash offering them. Achshav She'en Karbanos, Ma'u L'Misaskim Ahem. Now that we don't have Karbanos, and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, why should we be busy learning or speaking about karbanos? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam himself responded, and he said, Hoel v'atem misaskim ahem, since you are learning about all the different details revolving the bringing of karbanos, male ani alechem ki'ilu atem makrivim osam. That is considered as if you are going to offer the karbanos themselves. So, if we don't have the opportunity to bring a karban, at least we have a substitute, which is to study a little bit about it, to understand a little bit of what the parameters of karbanos are all about. And we hope and we pray that not only will this be the substitute, but this will also be the preparation for the offering of karbanos. I do have a fond memory of a high school boy in our community who said that the whole institution of karbanos makes him very, very uncomfortable. He loves animals. And he said, like, whoever heard of slaughtering animals just to slaughter animals? He said he's not even comfortable with eating animals when we slaughter them for our own human consumption. That makes them uncomfortable as well. But certainly slaughtering animals and then not doing anything with it, just burning them up on the altar, burning them on a mizbeach to offer to Hashem, who doesn't really eat anything, so why are we doing this? He said this is something that troubled him, and he has a hard time understanding it. So maybe part of what we need to do today is understand the way the Rishonim explain why we offer karbanos. What is that all about? God just wants us to destroy everything? He wants us to just kill everyone, kill everything? Is that the point of karbanos? Obviously not. We are not that kind of people. So there is something that is very important to understand about where karbanos comes from and what the reasoning of that is all about. So that's what I want to work on a little bit today, when we will go through some of the comments of the major Rishonim on Chumash and the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim, who try to explain and give a little bit of a background as to what the institution of karbanos is all about. But either way, the Medrash here says in our Parsha that by studying the laws of karbanos, or studying the issues revolving around karbanos, we have the opportunity to consider it as if we've done something in the place of a karban itself, which is not only limited to karbanos. We find this also in the Medrash writes, in the name of Rav Huna, the Medrash says, why is it that we read the parshios of Truma and Tetzaveh, and in it we go through all the descriptive detail of building a Beis HaMikdash? After all, when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, who in this room is going to be sitting there with the psukim, with the chumash, and with the rashi, and figuring out with all the gemaras how exactly to build it? I would say none of us. We're probably just going to turn to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, tell us how to build a mishkan, tell us how to build a Beis HaMikdash, and none of us are really going to be too involved. So why are we involved? Says the Medrash, the reason why is because if you learn about the tzuras habayis utchunaso, says the Medrash, if you learn about the parameters of a Beis HaMikdash and the exact way of how it's supposed to be constructed, it is in some way considered as if we have done it on our own. And that is why it is so important every day when we say karbanos in our davening. I know davening is sometimes long, and sometimes we don't have time to say everything that's in the Siddur, but it is important for us, if we have a pecking order of which parts of davening we're going to make time for, we should try to make time for some of the karbanos that are in the Siddur, which are ones that were offered every day, in order that it should be considered as if we have offered those karbanos. Again, if you want to talk about later which paragraphs and which ones are most important or least important, I'm happy to go through it, but not for right now. But this is really why it is extremely important. The Medrash Tanchuma writes in Parashas Kisevo, Tzafa Moshe Beruach HaKodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Beruach HaKodesh Shebeis HaMikdash Asid Lichare. He saw that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed and then there would be no more karbanos. And therefore, says the Medrash, Amad Behiskin Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu came up with an idea. You're going to have a problem because you're not going to have karbanos at a certain time in Jewish history. You got to do something to be able to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, to stand in the place of offering a karban. And therefore, says the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who came up with this concept, with this idea of saying tefillah three times a day. Lefi shechaviv ha-tefillah lefnei ha-makom mikal ha-karbanos. Said the Medrash, tefillah is more beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all of the karbanos. So you talk about the loftiest service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash, offering a karban, sacrificing, paying money, going traveling, all of those things, coming to Yerushalayim, all of that is true, and it is beautiful, and it is appreciated, but says the Medrash, tefillah is in some way considered to be more powerful and more important than any other karbanos that we can offer. And that is what the Medrash says in Shir HaShirim. We have a very beautiful pasuk, Ani Yishena V'Libi Er, Kol Dodi Dofek, a very famous pasuk. So what does that mean? Ani Yishena V'Libi Er. Ani Yishena means I am sleeping. V'Libi Er means my heart is awake. So that's a reference to the whole story in Shir HaShirim there. But says the Medrash, Ani Yishena Min Ar Karbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am sleeping from the karbanos because I don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm unable to accept any of your offerings. However, Libi Er, what does it mean that my heart is alive, my heart is on fire? Mikriya Shema Minatfila. My heart is alive because even though I'm sleeping from the opportunity to connect with the Beis HaMikdash and with the Karban, I am alive, my heart is alive because I have the opportunity to connect with the Jewish people by them reciting Kriya Shema and Tefillah every day, and that is why it is so important. So much so, the Medrash writes in our Parsha as well, in the Medrash Tanchuma, Ra'a Kodesh Re'ei, Eicha Kodesh Baruch Hu Saleach La'Avonoseim Shei Yisrael. Look how much the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to forgive the Jewish people. What happened in the days of the Beis HaMikdash? If you go through the Psukim and Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav, you will notice that not every carbon is the same. Some karbanos required spending a lot of money. Other karbanos required spending a little bit less money. Sometimes you have to bring a par, which means a ox or a cow. Sometimes you just bring a goat or a sheep, which is less. Sometimes you bring a mincha, which is made of flour. And the Gemara tells us what is the reason behind these different gradations of karbanos to tell us, Echad amarbe ve'echad amamit uvilvad sheyechaven libo lashamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't look at how much we offer. He doesn't look at how expensive it is. All he looks at is the machshava salev. He wants to see how much are we dedicated to him. So for me, the greatest thing that I can give is flour. Then that's what I do. And that is the same, says the Gemara, as somebody who spent hundreds or thousands of dollars on a karban, because the bottom line is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rachmana Liba Boy, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants our heart. He wants our sincere feelings of connection. And that is what karbanos are all about. So here, says the Medrash in our Parsha, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all these different karbanos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu first said, if someone is able to afford it, they should bring a par, which means a cow. Then it says, if you can't afford it, you bring an ayil, which is a goat, a ram. Then, Mishi Yesh Lo Seh, Yavi Seh. Someone who's able to bring a goat or a ram should bring that. If not, you bring a sheep. If not, you bring a yonah, which means a dove, an animal, a bird. Somebody who doesn't have money to afford any of the above, then says the Gemara, you go to the lowest level, which is flour. And mi she'ein lo soles velo klum. What about someone who doesn't even have money for flour, like us? We don't have anything. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So what are we going to do? We don't have a cow. We don't have a sheep. We don't have an ox. We don't have anything. We don't have a bird. We don't have a flour. What are we going to do? Yavi dvarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, bring your word. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kechu imachem dvarim vishuhu el Hashem. That is the Medrash in our Parsha. And that is why it is so critical to understand what karbanos are all about, and in the absence of karbanos, to realize that our tefillah is really what takes the place of what karbanos used to represent and what that really was all about in the life of a Jew back in the days of a Beis HaMikdash. Question?
Yeah, just why when
Tefillah is obviously a substitute. Even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the Gemara, the Mishnah tells us there was an institution of Ma'amados. You ever heard of Ma'amados? Don't feel bad. Probably nobody in the room ever heard of it either, or many people didn't. How many heard of Ma'amados? You maybe heard about it. So, don't feel bad. I was right. You should feel good that you do know about it, but nobody else should feel bad that they don't. So, Ma'amados were Anshei Mishmar, which means, imagine Let's say you have a group of 100 Jewish males. How many of them are going to be Kohanim? What's the statistic? I don't know. Let's say 10%. I have no idea. But let's make a round number. 10%, right? So 10% of every 100 Jewish men are going to be Kohanim. Or 20%. I don't know. I don't know what the number is. Let's say 10%. Keep it simple. Good? Now, let's say you take 6 million Jews, or for that matter, 15 million Jews. How many Kohanim are you going to have? What? What's 10% of 15 million? What?
150,000.
Excellent, right? Thank you. So you have 150,000 Kohanim. How big is the Beis HaMikdash? It's big, but not big enough to fit 150,000 Kohanim on any given day, correct? So what happens when you have 150,000 Kohanim who are all pushing? You ever went to like a very crowded event recently, right? We had that. So how many people was that? 500, I don't know, 600, 700, and like people didn't get in and everyone was pushing. And that was when everyone was being respectful and nice to each other because we're all friends and we're all here for the right reason. It's different. But what happens when you're in the Beis HaMikdash and like every Kohen wants to have the opportunity to have a job there and everybody wants to bring the Karbonos every day? So what are you going to do? This is an impossible system. So the Gemara says they set up a system where they had Anshei Mishmar, which means that they made listings of Kohanim, where every Kohen family had 1 or 2 weeks a year where they were on deck, where they were on duty to come and serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and that is what they were tasked with doing. Every week that they had Kohanim stationed in the Beis HaMikdash, they gave each one a particular day of the week that they had to be there on call, and that's the system that was worked out. That's the way it went, and everybody used to come at their designated time. Along with the Anshei Mishmar, which means the Kohanim who took different shifts during the year, it was also Anshei Ma'amad, which means, what about those of us who are just regular Yisraelim? I'm not a Kohen. I also want to have a part in it. So the Gemara says that they would set aside that every week when there were Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, there were also, the rest of the Jewish people were also on a rotation, and you had to take off a week every year where it was going to be your week to be on. Now what does it mean, my week to be on? I go to the Beis HaMikdash, I'm a Yisrael. I can't offer a carbon, so what do I do? So the Gemara says, no, your job during that week is to offer tefillos the whole day. You had to offer a tefillah. So while the Kohanim were offering karbanos, we also needed the second segment of that avodah, which was tefillah together with the karbanos. And who is going to offer that tefillah? People are at work. People are busy. The answer is ma'amados. They set up basically a system where the entire Jewish people is split up into different weeks of the year. And every year, every Jew had the opportunity to spend 1 week a year being focused totally on the tefillah, which was supposed to help ensure that the karbanos would be accepted properly. That's so. Even in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, tefillah was an integral part of it. We say today, "Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu ba'amcha Yisrael v'tefillah sam." Right? We say that today, but in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they said the same thing. After they offered a tefillah, they would say, "Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu." You should be merutzeh. You should be appeased in the karbanos that we offered. That was always an integral part of the service as well. Yeah, but we still have a mitzvah to bring a carbon, right? It still says, let's say I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, Talmud Torah keneged kula. Learning Torah is better than anything. So therefore, if I'm learning Torah, I shouldn't keep Shabbos? If I'm learning Torah, I shouldn't go to shul? The answer is yes. Learning Torah is very important, but other things are also important. So you have an obligation to do a bunch of different things. Okay, so now let's continue. What is the idea of karbanos? What is this all about? So the Rambam, actually, in the Mora Nevuchim, Mora Nevuchim is a sefer that the Rambam wrote for, what does it mean? Mora means a guide for the Navuch. Navuch means? Somebody who is, I don't know, perplexed or like wondering. Someone who's confused, right? It's called the guide to the perplexed. But really what it means is, if there are people who are wondering what Judaism is all about, the Rambam says, I'm going to explain it to you. And in the Mora Nevuchim, he goes through many of the mitzvot HaTorah, which seem so strange to us, which seem to have no rhyme or reason, no understanding at all. And the Rambam gives meaning, and he tries to explain, what is this all about? What's the Ribono Shel Olam getting at? Why does he want us to do this mitzvah? So here, when it comes to the mitzvah of Karbanos, which is an issue that is really navuch in the eyes of many people, it's something that we're very perplexed about, something that we have a hard time understanding or appreciating. So the Rambam explains, what is the idea behind Karbanos? Now, what's fascinating is the Rambam gives two different versions of what exactly Karbanos are for. Basically, both of them come down to the same point, that it's a harchik lev Yisrael me'avodah zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to distance the Jewish people. He wanted to disassociate us from pagan service to their gods. And therefore, the Rambam says that is what Karbanos is all about. Let's see what the first entry of the Rambam in the third chelek of the Mor Nebuchim Perek Lamed Beis says. The Rambam as follows: V'haya ha-mina gamafursam ba'olam kulo. The practice in those days was lahakriv mine balechayim beheichalos asher hayu ma'amidim mehem slamin. Says the Rambam that wherever they had a place of service, they used to offer animals in the service of their pagan gods. V'akadosh Baruch Hu ratza ligmal es b'nei Yisrael miminig zeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to pull us away from that service. Ligmal means to wean us off, right? It says v'yigamel, by Yitzchak, it says that he was weaned away from his mother. He was maturing, he was changing. He was changing to a different phase of life. So to over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to somehow wean us off. He wanted to pull us away from the service of Avodah Zarah. V'yefshar latzeis min ha-hepech el ha-hepech pisaom, says the Rambam. It is impossible for a person to go from one extreme to the other in a very quick segment of time. You ever seen someone who flipped out? But if they flip too hard, it doesn't stay. Why? Because it's not sustainable. To go from one extreme to another in such a short span of time just doesn't work. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want you to serve Avodah Zarah. Okay, sounds great. But how does he expect us that we're going to go from 0 to 100 in 1 second? It's not so easy. And therefore, the way he did it was, he tried to give us an opportunity to wean ourselves off slowly. How so? So he said, if you served Avodah Zarah in this way, by offering karbanos, then I'm going to take that exact service and tell you to do the same thing, just in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way to wean us away slowly. That we were used to already doing this, just now we're just going to shift the focus a little bit and say, instead of doing this exact service to the Avodah Zarah, do this service to and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Rambam explains it, that it's hard to detox an individual from a certain behavior that they have or a certain practice that they're accustomed to. And the Rambam says, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to do it slowly. And the way to do it slowly was to institute karbanos in order to wean us away from this and to bring us into a reality of that. That's the way the Rambam explains what karbanos are all about. Now what's interesting is the Rambam in the Perek Memvav, which is Perek 46 there, gives us a similar idea, but a little bit different. So let's see what he says. If you look here at number 3, the Rambam says, Ame kedem ovde alidim, the old pagan communities, how you sogdim lebalei achayim, they would worship the animals. As we know, what's the first example of that? What? Mitzrayim. We know that everybody was instructed to take ish sela beis avos sela bayis. By the first Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, everyone was expected to bring a sheep. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want them to bring that? Because that was the god of the Egyptians. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to show them, we're going to get rid of your god, and we don't care about your god, and your god cannot protect you. Okay, so, says the Rambam, back in the days, the way that people used to worship was, they would worship Balei Chaim, they would worship live animals. HaMitzriyim L'Tleh, Acherim L'Eiz, V'Acherim L'Shar, he says different communities used to bow down to different animals. V'lazeh Timse Anshei Hodu Ad Hayom Hazeh, Lo Yishachtu HaBakar Klal. Says the Rambam, in his generation, Anshei Hodu means the people from?
India.
What?
India.
I think it's India, no?
India.
India. Anshei Hodu is India. He says the Indians still
worship
animals. And because of that, he says, they don't allow themselves to ever eat meat from an animal because that's the god. So the Rambam says in his generation, this was still going on. And because of that, he says, V'lachein, Siva HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishchot gimel minim elu kekarban. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you should slaughter these three types of animals in order to show ba'avur she'imache zecher elu hadeos asher einam amitios. In order that we should wipe away from our consciousness that there is even a possibility that these animals can be worshipped. How can you worship an animal if then you can turn around and kill the animal? If you kill the animal, that means it has no power. It's not a god. So says the Rambam, what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted us to understand was, there is no power to these animals. And the way to show that, the way to highlight it, is by instructing the Jewish people to slaughter those animals and to show that they have no power at all. And therefore, says the Rambam, that is what the karbanos are all about. Either way, again, these are two different versions of what the Rambam thinks karbanos are all about, but either way, it's a very similar point that he's trying to bring out. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be distanced from this idea of offering sacrifices to pagan services, either because he didn't want us to serve the animals or because he didn't want us to use the animals in the service of the pagan god. And therefore, says the Rambam, that is where the whole notion, the whole idea of karbanos comes from. And that is his interpretation of why we have this entire mitzvah in Parshas Vayikra, and then once again in our Parsha, Parshas Tzav. The Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, takes great offense to the comment of the Rambam, and he says, how can the Rambam say such a thing? Are you basically saying that karbanos have no inherent value? That's basically what the Rambam seems to be saying. Karbanos are only a reaction, it's a response to pagan service of their gods. But you're telling me that karbanos have nothing inherently valuable in and of themselves? It was only to prove a point. It's something that we stole from another nation. It's something that we just wanted to pull ourselves away from. Says the Ramban, how can you say that? The karbanos are an inyan nisgav. The karbanos are something that is so lofty, that is so beyond our human understanding. And therefore, says the Ramban, he cannot accept the words of the Rambam, and he doesn't feel that the Rambam's interpretation of what karbanos are all about is correct. The Ramban himself explains what exactly is the notion of karbanos. Why do we have this idea, which seems so unusual to us? The Ramban explains, because when we have the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are supposed to serve him in an amalgam of ways, in a number of different forms that we're supposed to give ourselves over to the Ribono Shel Olam. Number one, he says, b'machshava, which means in our thoughts, b'dibur means in our speech, u'v'maisa, and in our actions. And therefore he says, when you have a karban that is being offered, you have the opportunity to give service in three different ways, says the Ramban. How so? How do you have b'dibur, b'machshava, u'v'maisa? Number one, he says, one of the mitzvahs when you offer a karban is you have to do smicha, you have to lean on the animal. Why do you have to lean on the animal? What's that all about? He says, because you have to show that you're doing something with your body in the service of God. So before you offer the karban, you need to do something yourself. And that is the idea behind the smicha. Number two, he says, before you offer the karban, you have to say vidui. And that is vidui pepet. That is using my mouth in the service of God. And number three, he said, when I finish offering the karban, I take many parts of it and I burn it on the mizbeach. I'm sorry, fosa al gabi amizbeach. And that, he says, is keneged the machshava. Sometimes we have a burning idea in our mind, we want to do something wrong, and we feel very fired up about it. Says the Ramban that the notion of offering our machshava to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when we take the parts of the karban, the different components, and we offer them to be burnt on top of the mizbeach. That is the way the Ramban explains what karbanos are all about. And again, if you look in the Nefesh HaChaim, and if you look in the Arizal, they all have their own ideas to explain what exactly the karbanos are all about. But what's very, very clear is that there are many lofty ideals that we strive for when we think about the offering of karbanos. And this is not just an arbitrary service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the Pesukim told us to do it. The Rishonim try to explain very carefully what exactly the karbanos are all about. As we mentioned today, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we don't have the opportunity to offer a karban, so as we know today, this has changed dramatically. But at the same time, as we mentioned, tefillah has come in the place of karbanos. So much so, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, tefillah is keneged karbanos tiknum. The tefillos are in the place of karbanos. And that is why we have shachris in the morning, because there was a karban tamid brought every morning. That is why we have mincha in the afternoon, because there was another karban tamid that was brought in the late afternoon. And that is really what it's about. What's fascinating is, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't just stop there. We don't just assume this is patterned off of the karbanos and it's supposed to be at the same basic time frame of when the karbanos were offered. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. Let me read you one passage from the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tzadi Ches and Arachayim. This is in Hilchos Tefillah. Listen to the words of the Shulchan Aruch. HaTefillah hi b'makom ha-karban. Says the Mechaber, the Rabbi Yosef Kara writes that tefillah stands in the place of a karban. V'lachein, and therefore, Sarach li zahir, you have to be careful. Shatei dugmas hakarban mikavana. You have to make sure that you have kavana when you daven. Why? Because when you offer a karban, you have to know what it is that you're doing. If you just show up in the Beis HaMikdash and you don't know why I'm bringing this karban, what's the point? What's the reason? Who am I giving it to? What is the reason why I'm here in the first place? Then your karban doesn't count. So says the Shulchan Aruch, lo ye'arev b'machsheva acheres. There's a halacha when you offer a karban that you're not allowed to think about anything else. You have to be focused on this, and you have to know exactly what it is that I'm doing in the service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, kimosha machshava poselas bekadshim, We know when you offer a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be standing, and you have to be standing in a certain position, either for this carbon at the north of the Mizbeach, at the south, the inner Mizbeach, the outer Mizbeach, all different permutations of exactly how carbonos need to be offered. So too, when one davens, they have to understand that there is a specific way in which you are supposed to daven. And this is not something that should just be taken lightly. It's not something that should just be arbitrary. Well, I show up to shul, doesn't matter what time it is, doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where I stand, where I go, how much I walk around. No, it's a certain way, there's a certain attitude that a person needs to have when they are thinking about the offering of karbanos, and therefore also when they are thinking about the offering of a tefillah, there is a very specific way to do so. The Mishnah writes that there were many nisim, many miracles that happen every year on an annual basis in the Beis HaMikdash. So one of them is, it says, Omnim Svufim Umishtachavim Revachim. What does that mean? Omnim Svufim Umishtachavim Revachim. Right, so on Yom Kippur, can you imagine how many people wanted to come to the Beis HaMikdash to see the Avodas Yom HaKippurim? Amazing. So the Gemara says, how is it going to fit everyone? So part of the miracle was Omnin Svufim. Everybody crammed in and they all somehow had space. Umishtachavim Revachim. When they bowed down, somehow there was room. In the middle of the service on Yom Kippur, everybody bows down. So how is there room? How could it be? If we're so crowded, how could it be that when everyone takes up more space on the floor to bow down, somehow there's room? So the Mishnah says that was one of the great miracles that happened on an annual basis in the Beis HaMikdash, that on Yom Kippur, when everyone came to the Beis HaMikdash, there was space for them to somehow be able to bow down. So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik is famous for making a comment where he said, I understand that the miracle was Mishtachavim Revachim. The miracle was that when they bowed down, there was room. But what's the miracle that Omnim Svufim? Sometimes you're in a place, there are a lot of people, everyone's crowded. That's the way it is. So what's the miracle? So the simple understanding is the miracle was that there was room for everyone. Even that's a miracle as well. But Reb Chaim Soloveitchik made a quip where he said, that was the first miracle, that Omnim Svufim, that everyone actually stood in their place. Sometimes you come to shul, you ever notice there are people pacing up and down the aisles, people walking up and down, fidgeting, all over, like, just stand still. You're davening. Just stand still. Be in one place. Why do you have to be everywhere? Maybe it doesn't happen as much in the women's section as in the men's section, but you always see people walking around and moving, going to this one, that, this side, that. Just stay where you are. Seder Abchaim Omdim Tzufim. That was the first miracle, that the Jewish people stayed in their places. Nobody was moving around. Everybody was where they belong. Everyone was comfortable where they were. And that was the first miracle. Mishtachavim Revachim was the second miracle. What emerges from the Shulchan Aruch is that tefillah is really meant to be, in our generation, an actual replacement for the karbanos. And not just a metaphorical replacement, it's supposed to be a real replacement in every way. And says the Shulchan Aruch, our tefillah should really be reflective of the way that we offer karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash as well. That should inform how we daven. So if you look here at number 5 on the bottom of the page, the Michta Me'eliyahu writes in his beautiful sefer, he quotes from the Maharal, what is Karbanos all about? So let's look what the Maharal says, and then the Michta Me'eliyahu on the next page is going to explain what the words of the Maharal are really getting at. So let's see. Kol Inyan HaKarban. What is the reason why we have the opportunity to bring Karbanos? Hu Lohodia. It is to let us know. Ki Bizbonein Mitzios Hashem Yisbarach. When you think about the mitzios, the reality of the Ribono Shel Olam in our world. Ein Eitzel Madragaso Mitzios L'Shum Nivra. When I'm trying to explain something to a person, right? Imagine if I try to explain something that I know. So I can compare it to something that you're familiar with, and I can say it's a little bit like this, it looks a little bit like that, it feels like this. There are different ways of describing something, but when you're talking about describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no parallel. There is nothing in the world that can be considered even somewhat similar to the Ribono Shel Olam. In fact, we're coming close to Pesach already. Rav Soloveitchik had an amazing comment where he said he thought Echad Miodea was not an appropriate piyut to say. I know it's a very favorite tefillah at many of our sederim, but Rav Soloveitchik didn't used to say it at his seder. And he said, in Europe, many communities did not say it. I don't know if that's documented anywhere. I'm not sure, but that's what he said. Why not? What could be wrong? It's beautiful. Echa miyodeya. Talk about God. Talk about Shnei Luchos Habrios. Talk about Shlosha Avos, Arba Imos. What's wrong? Sounds great. What could be bad? So if Soloveitchik said, the whole notion of Echa miyodeya and the way it's structured is, we're talking about a numerical value of different things in Judaism, right? So we say is 10 of this and 9 of that and 8 of the other thing and 7 of this and 6 of that. 3, 2, and then you get to 1. Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaaretz. Where does that whole notion come from? Echad Hu Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaaretz. Where does that come from? Which pasuk in Chumash? Where?
Shema.
Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Right? Which means Echad Hu Elokeinu Shebashamayim Uvaaretz. That's what it means. Rav Soloveitchik said, no, that's not what Shema Yisrael means. Nobody had a doubt that we believe in monotheism. We know that there's only one God in the world. We don't need Echad Miyodea to teach us that. And in fact, that is not what Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If you look in the Art Scroll Siddur, what does it say Hashem Echad means? What?
Hero.
Oh, Hero Israel, that's the beginning. Well, what's Hashem Echad? I don't know what Hero Israel means either. But what? God is unified, unified with? Right, so how do they translate Hashem Echad? I think most Siddurim translated God is one. But the Gemara says that's not what Hashem Echad means. We all know that God is one. We all know there's only one God in the world. We don't believe in the Trinity. So what does it mean, Hashem Echad? Says the Gemara, Hashem Echad actually means God is unique. God is different. God is nothing like anything else in the world that we are familiar with. He is Yichudo Shalolam. He is different than everything else that we know in our entire world. There is nothing that can compare. There is nothing we can say is similar. That is what Hashem Echad means. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik said, if that's the meaning of Hashem Echad, then it doesn't fit into Echa Miyodea. Echa Miyodea doesn't mean, I'm sorry, Hashem Echad doesn't mean there's one God. Hashem Echad means that the God that you believe in is unique, is different. Rav Soloveitchik actually added on to that and he said, we have a mitzvah of the halachta bedracha, which means we are supposed to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Soloveitchik said, just like the Ribono Shel Olam is referred to as Hashem Echad, that He is unique, that He is different, that He is special, that He is not like anything else, so too we have a mitzvah to be unique and to be different and to make a contribution to the world that is not the same as other people. That's what it means, the halachta bedracha, to show our uniqueness. There's a reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me into the world, and He didn't just say, the world is good enough without me. I was very touched when I once saw somebody showed me from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. What, anybody here celebrates a birthday? Some people do, right? So why do we celebrate a birthday? The only person in Chumash who celebrated a birthday was Paro. So you want to be like Paro? So celebrating birthdays seems to be a very non-Jewish concept. We don't have it anywhere else in the Torah. So what's the story with birthdays? But we know the Jewish people celebrate birthdays. I mean, many people celebrate birthdays. So what's that all about? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe is quoted as saying an amazing line. What is a birthday celebration all about? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a birthday celebration is about realizing there was a day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came onto the world and said, the world will never be the same without you. Is that not a reason to celebrate? When I realize that the world could not have existed without me? God had enough going on in the world. He didn't need me, but He put me here. So why am I here? Why am I here? Says the Ramchal, the very first line in the Mesilas Yesharim, Yisod ha-chasidish v'shorosh ha-avod ha-tmima, shenizbarer v'nis'ameis etzel ha-adam macho v'asa ba'olama. That is the job of every Jew, to spend time trying to figure out, what am I here for? Why did the Ribono Shel Olam put me on this world? There are millions of people. He really doesn't seem to have needed me. But I'm here. And if He didn't need me, He wouldn't have put me here. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's a perspective to think about on your birthday. It's not just parties all day long. It's not just getting gifts. It's not just having balloons and a cake and delicious hamantaschen. It's not just about that. It's more than that. It's understanding there's a reason why I'm here. That's what it means. Rav Soloveitchik said, Hashem Echad means the Ribono Shel Olam is unique. The Ribono Shel Olam is different. The Ribono Shel Olam is singular. There is nothing that can parallel to the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, said Rav Soloveitchik, is the mission of every Jew, to realize, what is it that I'm supposed to be contributing to the world that is unique, that is different, in my way, that I can bring to the table that other people can't? And all of us have something we can bring to the table. All of us have something we can contribute. We just have to spend time figuring it out. For some people, it's easier to find that path and that journey. And for others, it's more difficult. But that's what the journey of life is all about, to see what it is that we can contribute to the world and how it is that we can make a difference. So, says the Maharal, what is a carbon all about? A carbon is about the understanding, ki bi'hisponein mitzios Hashem yizbarach, when you think about the existence of God, ein etzel madregasom mitzios l'shum nivra. There is nothing that can compare to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki hu yizbarach nivdel mikol chomer ba'olam. God is different, God is separate and apart from any chumrius, from any materialism that we are familiar with, v'im kein, and therefore, b'ma'alaso u'v'mitziyaso ein davar chumri nimtza. There is nothing physical in God's world. V'lachein hayim makrivim elav karbanos ladas. That is why we bring karbanos, so that we should know. Ki advarim hachumriim ein lahem mitziyas eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehu nivdel min hachomer. It's to show us that God has nothing to do with materialism. What does that mean? Says the Michtam Eliyahu, look in the next paragraph, it's on the second page. Everyone with me? V'nevar dvar v'akdoshim ha'amukim. Let's try to explain what the Maharal means. Yadua, she'tachlis b'riyas ha'olam hu. What is the purpose of the creation of the world? L'galos kvoda yizbarach l'nevraim. The purpose of the creation of the world was that we should reveal the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. It's what we daven for in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Malo chol ha'olam kvodo. Malo chol ha'olam kula b'chvodecha. It's what we aspire toward, to a world where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be recognized by everyone. V'kama ufanim shegilo yesh ba'olam. There are many different ways for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be seen in the world. Sometimes it's miminas dino yizbarach. Sometimes you feel the ribono shel olam when you feel midas hadin. It sounds counterintuitive, but sometimes when a family goes through something very painful and very difficult, they feel the presence of the ribono shel olam. They feel the din. Yesh miminas rachama. Sometimes you feel the compassion, the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the generosity. Yesh memidas chasadav. Sometimes you feel the kindness and the affection, the graciousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says, Ach yesh od geder shel gilui l'mayla mehem. But there's something above all of that. And what is that? Gilui she'ein od melvado. When you come to an understanding that ein od melvado, you know, so many Jews in America are going crazy that the United States did not veto the UN resolution yesterday. I hope all of you are following what's going on. Is there anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Don't raise your hand. Shame on you. But okay. So there was a resolution that was put for a vote yesterday in the United Nations about whether there has to be an immediate ceasefire, are we allowed to continue the war or not? Anyway, the United States abstained. And people are going crazy. How can it be? The United States, the ally of the Jewish people, the ally of the state of Israel. How can this be? The only democracy in the Middle East. All the regular story. My feeling was there could not have been a more powerful day for that to happen than on Purim. On Purim, when we talk about the understanding that we come to the realization the whole world hates us. Lahashmid, laharov, ulaabed. As Kol HaYehudim. And what saved us on Purim? Only the Ribono Shel Olam. That was it. It was our faith in God Himself. And sometimes it's very hard to have faith when you have a mistaken belief that all of your efforts are the things that are bringing you to the ultimate redemption, to the solution of the problem. So as it becomes more and more stripped away from our consciousness that America is going to help us, we can rely on this one, we can rely on that one, the United Nations is going to turn around, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. The answer is none of that is going to happen. And God is just continuing to show us over and over again how ein od milvado. Either you're going to believe or you won't believe. Either you're going to believe and you'll understand how things work in this world, and it has nothing to do with Biden, it has nothing to do with Netanyahu, it has nothing to do with the UN. All of this, again, we do our hishtadlus, we get involved because we live in a world of teva. We live in a physical, natural world, but in the end of the day, we understand that with everything against us, we understand Eino Ad Milvado. We understand and we appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only being in the world, the only essence in the world, that has the ability to actually help us, or has the ability to actually save us. Can there be a more powerful time in the Jewish calendar than now for that to happen? For even the United States to pull back its support in such a dramatic way? It just pushes us more to understand Ein Od Melvado. It's pushing us more to say we need to believe. We have no option. Even if you weren't a believer, you have no option now. What, are you going to believe in the United States government? Who believes that anymore? There's nothing to believe in. There's nothing to believe in. They don't have your best of interest in mind. God is the only one who has your best of interest in mind. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Gedola Hasaras Hatabas Yoser Mimei Navi. I forgot, Yoser Mi something. Me, all the Nevi'im, something like that. It says, what's Hasaras Hatabas? What's that a reference to? Where in the Megillah does it say Hasaras Hatabas? When does Paro take off his ring? Now, before that, he gives it to Haman. He basically takes off the ring and he says, here, do whatever you want. And what was the reaction of the Jewish people to that? That's terror. That's frightening. How could it be? We were first invited. Sheva v'Esra v'mei Medinos. We were all invited to come party with Achashverosh. We were invited to the White House. We were all hanging out. We were all very politically astute. We were all involved. We all had the country that was backing us. And then all of a sudden, Achashverosh himself turns around and says he hates us? And says that Haman has a right, la'ashmid la'arog la'abed. You know what that does to a Jew? I'm living in Shushan, I'm having a great life, everything's perfect. All of a sudden, everything changed in 1 second. And what happened then? It pushed the Jewish people to do tshuva. Says the Gemara, Gedola Hasaras Hatabas. That moment of Achashverosh taking off his signet ring and giving it to Haman and saying, do whatever you need to do, I don't care. That was a more powerful tshuva moment than anything else that ever happened to the Jewish people. The Nevi'im could stand there and give speeches and tell everybody how they should behave, what they should do, where they should be thinking about tshuva. The bottom line is it didn't work. The moment that Achashverosh showed, you're on your own, we don't care about you anymore, the Jewish people realized, Ein lanu amila hishayin ela lavinu shebashamayim. Could there be a greater moment of tshuva than that? Could there have been a greater time in the Jewish calendar? I'm not saying I'm celebrating the fact that the American government is doing what they're doing. But think about it from a religious perspective. Can there have been a more powerful time in the Jewish calendar than Purim for that to have happened? That's exactly what the Purim story is. When the Jewish people realize all of these people who we thought were our friends are not our friends. All of the realities that we thought were realities in our life are not realities. All of the assurances that we had that we're going to be safe are no longer assurances. We have nothing. We have no one to turn to. What are we going to do? The only option you have left is to turn to God himself because of a lack of a better option. But that's where you turn. And that is what the Maharal writes over here when we talk about karbanos. The greatest existence in our world, the greatest spiritual understanding in our world is when somebody comes to the realization that Ein Od Melvado, that there's nothing else in the world that matters other than the Ribono Shel Olam. Nothing else in the world matters other than the Ribono Shel Olam. So what are we doing when we offer karbanos? Says the Michta Meliyahu, explaining what the Maharal means. We are taking our physical possession, we're taking our property, and we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this means nothing. I can take an animal that's going to cost me thousands of dollars, but in the context of this world, I realize what matters in the world is you. What matters in the world is not my possession, it's not my property, it's not my money, it's nothing. What matters in the world is my relationship with you. That is what Karbanos is meant to teach us. It's not about accumulating wealth, it's about understanding what valuable life is really all about. And that, says the Maharal, is what the Avoda of Karbanos is really supposed to be all about. I'll tell you something. We're coming close to Pesach, and a comment that I read a number of years ago in one of the Svarim of Rav Avram Shur, he has an unbelievable insight. I know we said before about Echa Miodea, but here's another insight about it. Say it over at the Seder. It's really amazing. So we talk about the Seder is supposed to be an uplifting time. Supposed to be a memorable evening for our children and something they're going to talk about. We sat with our grandparents and we sat with our parents and we did this and we spoke about that. Amazing. All beautiful, right? At the end of the Seder, what do we say? Shir HaShirim, because we're talking about how close we feel, how much love we have, how deep the connection is. All amazing, right? Okay, so you have this very uplifting evening of the Seder, and I think the Vilna Gaon writes, how many mitzvahs do we have on the last Seder? Like 70 or something? You know, we count everything up with all the brachas and the matzah and the maror. Amazing. tons of mitzvahs, you're very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel very uplifted. So how do we end off this whole very spiritually uplifting evening? How do we end it off? All right, let's play a game. Who knows one? Who knows one? One. I remember one time we once learned in school, Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Va'aretz. Oh, great, okay. Anybody knows two? What kind of joke is that? That's the way you end the Seder? That's the way you end the Seder? That doesn't sound like the climax of a very spiritually uplifting, engaging evening. So what's with this joke at the end of the Seder? What's with the Echad Meyodeh? Listen to this insight. Anyone here going for psychology? No one? Yeah? So you know what a Rorschach test is?
Yeah.
So tell us, what's a Rorschach test?
You look at a splash of ink and then you try and identify what you see of your splash.
Correct. Not you, but...
The person.
The patient, right? The client. So basically, when you're trying to do a character assessment, you're trying to understand... What is this person actually like? So I meet a patient. I meet a client. I don't know who they are. I don't know much about their background. I want to know, what kind of person are you? So I'm going to give you a piece of paper that has ink just splashed on it. And I'm going to ask you to interpret what it is that you see. Some people are going to look at it and see, you see those guns, the two people firing at each other, and someone's dead on the floor. You see blood all over the place. That's what they're going to see. It gives me an understanding of what kind of home you grew up in, of what kind of person you were. Other people are going to say, oh, you see those beautiful trees with fruits growing on them, the beautiful red fruits coming down. The way you interpret something tells us a lot about what's going on in your head. It tells us a lot about your background. That's a Rorschach inkblot test, correct? Says Rabbi Abram Shur in his Haggadah, HaLekach VaAlivuv. That's what Echad Meyodeh is all about. We want to test ourselves at the end of the Seder to see how good of a job did we do at understanding what the point of the entire Leil HaSeder was all about. How much do you have a perspective on life that's different than what it was before Pesach came around? So let's give a little test. When I hold up the number one, it's a Rorschach test. When I hold up the number one, what comes to your mind? Your one car that you have in your garage? Your one house that you have in Florida? Your one vacation that you're going to Italy? What do you think about when I say the number one? It would be a big vacation, I know. So, what do you think about when you say the number one? The only thing that comes to my mind when I say the number one is Echad Elokeinu Shebashamayim Va'aretz. There's nothing else in the world that matters to me other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. That's how we know we've done a successful Seder. When I hold up the number two and I say, what does two represent for you? What does two stand for? Two can mean many different things. I have two jobs that I'm looking into, two law schools that I want to go to. Right? Lots of twos in my life. Two guys I want to date? I don't know. Lots of different things. No, but two means nothing else to me right now other than Echad, other than Shnei Luchos Habris. I've realigned my perspective on life to be one which is meaningful, which is valuable, which really makes sense, which is one about Ein Od Milvado. That's what my world is right now. That's what everything revolves around. Echad Hu Elokeinu Shebashamayim Va'aretz, and there's nothing else in the world that comes to my mind when I say one other than that. Says the Maharal, that's what Karbanos are all about. We all have a very busy life that we lead. We all have to live in a home. We all need a car. We all need to have a profession. We all need to go to work. We all need to have friends. We all need to have families. We all need to do different things. And all of that is an important aspect of life. But don't allow it to make you forget that with all of that noise that is in your life, and some of it is very healthy noise, and some of it is very necessary noise, but with all of that, don't ever forget. The point of everything that we're here is to come to an understanding that Ein Od Milvado. That there's a God in the world. That's what the objective of all of life is all about. And therefore, says the Maharal, Karbanos is to show us that when you have something in your home, when I have money and I spend it on some kind of physical manifestation of an important item in my life, and I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and I offer it in the service of God, and I burn it, and I show all of that is meaningless, because whatever means something to me in life is Ein Od Milvado. All the chumrius in the world, all the materialism in the world is not going to get me anywhere. How many people have you seen who have all the money in the world and have no happiness? I wish more younger people in our world would be able to see the things that I see. Unfortunately, I'm behind many people's closed doors and I see what goes on in their homes. And many members of families come to me and I hear what goes on in homes where you think everything's perfect and so beautiful and I wish I had this kind of house and that kind of car and this kind of family. You shouldn't wish for it because you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. People can have all the money in the world and they're not happy. They're not happy. Sometimes people have money and they are happy. But sometimes people can have all the money in the world, all the material benefits that one can ever wish for, and you have nothing. Your life is empty. You're void of meaning. You're void of purpose. You have no mission. You have no understanding. Says the Maharal, that's what Karbanos are all about, to come to an understanding and an appreciation of Echad, Hu Elokeinu Shem HaShamayim V'Haaretz, to come to that understanding that Ein Od Milvado, with all the different components to our lives that we have, and with all the different aspects, which as I said, are very often extremely necessary and very important aspects of a successful life, it is also important for us to realize that all of that is just the side of what life is all about, which leads us to the mission and the purpose and the goal, which is to understand Ein Od Milvado. My feeling is, now that this just happened this week, what an opportunity for us. It was so easy to hide behind the United States and say, we're safe, we're good, so long as they're going to protect us, we'll be fine, this will be okay, that'll be okay. The answer now is, you have no other protection other than Echad Hu Elokeinu Shem HaShamayim V'Haaretz. And so long as you thought the Israeli army was the one that was going to protect you, October 7th came and told you the Israeli army is not going to protect you. And you thought that the protection was going to come from a $1 billion fence and from all the technology in the world and from the Mossad and the Shabak that were the greatest intelligence of any army in the world, and all of that came to nothing. All for that just to realize, Ein Od Milvado, Ein Od Milvado. Either you're going to believe or you're not going to believe. If you believe, then Ein Lanu Amila Hishayin El Alavinu Shem HaShamayim. Take comfort in that. Don't be scared. Ein Lanu Amila Hishayin El Alavinu Shem HaShamayim. And the more and more that happens in this realm, the more and more that becomes clear to us. It was very easy to mask it and to veil it and to see other things that are getting in the way that are clouding our vision from seeing the reality in front of us. But the bottom line, what's becoming more and more clear is, Ein Lanu Amila Hishayin Ela Alavinu Shem HaShamayim. And I hope that everybody offered a tefillah over Purim Hayamim Ahem Uvazman Hazeh, the same way that the Ribbono Shel Olam did miracles in the days of Mordechai v'Esther and everything became clear, so too it is my hope that we have the opportunity to see V'haya Hashem L'melech HaKala Aretz V'yoma Hu Yiyeh Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. The whole world should come to an understanding, not only us, but the entire world should come to an understanding and an appreciation of what it means to live a life of godliness, to live a life of understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our world, of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs all the events in our world, that everything is calculated, everything's for a purpose, and we should have that opportunity. But as we learn about the Karbanos, says the Maharal, that's really what the objective of Karbanos is all about, which is a beautiful spin, a beautiful understanding, and gives us a little bit more of an appreciation of what the Psukim in our Parsha try to explain the Karbanos are all about. It gives us an understanding as to what it is that we aspire toward. Why is it that Karbanos are so important? As we mentioned, the Rambam gives his reason because of Avodah Zarah. The Ramban says it's other things because of Machshava Dibur Maisa. But the Maharal gives us a third reason, which is because it's important for all of us to come to an understanding that everything we have in the world is very important for us, is very much an enhancement of our lives, but it all leads us to one place, which is Ein Od Milvado. All the Chumrius in the world leads us to one place, which is an understanding of how we're supposed to be believing and serving and appreciating the Ribbono Shel Olam's involvement in all of our lives.